SBS Radio.
Ai është 83 vjeç dhe në një farë mënyre, jeta e tij simbolizon jetën e çdo shqiptari që emigroi në Australi në vitet 1920-1930. Remzi Mulla erdhi në Australi si fëmijë. Ai u rrit në Mariba të Queensland e bisedoi me ne rreth jetës së tij, rreth jetës së emigrantëve shqiptar të asaj kohe në Australi. Me një kujtesë për t'u patur zili. Jeta e Remziut është plot ngjarje dhe momente interesante, pjesë të cilave ne i sjellim sot për ju. Jemi në studio të dashur dëgjues me një antar të komunitetit shqiptar, jo në Victoria, por kundrazi në Queensland dhe më saktë në Mariba. Ai quhet Remzi Mulla, por emri ose mbiemri original në familjen e tij ishte Agastra. Ai flet shqip shumë mirë apo jo? Por ne do të flasim në anglisht më tepër për arsye sepse gjuha angleze është gjuha më e fortë nga të dyja gjuhat. Dhe Remzi ti flet edhe gjuhë të tjera apo jo?
Je dy edhe një dy gjuha të tjera, spanjollçe edhe italisht.
Welcome to the studio. This is SBS, and we are very proud to have you here today.
Thank you very much. I'm proud to be here.
I want to start from the start. I want to start from day one, when you came to Australia. When did you come to Australia?
We landed in Brisbane on the 19th of February, 1939. It was me, my mother, and one of my uncles, and a few other relations.
Did you travel by boat?
Yes, we travelled by boat.
How long for?
Oh, I think it was about 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you do on a ship for 3 months?
Well, I was a young kid. I can't remember.
What did they say? What was it like?
Oh, they said it was boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but that's how long it took in those days.
And then what happened when they landed?
And we landed in Brisbane,
mm-hmm.
and my father was already in Australia. And we jumped on a train, and we ended up in Cairns by train, and then went up to Mariba because my father had already bought a farm in Mariba. So we went straight to the farm.
And was he growing?
Yes, he was growing tobacco.
Tobacco?
Yes.
Was that enough to survive?
Yes, in those days it was, yes. But he also did other jobs. He cut cane during the slack season to be able to survive.
Were there many Albanians back then?
There was quite a few Albanians back then, quite a few.
From? Where were they from?
Well, they were from Baban, Trestenik. Most of the area around Bilisht and Korcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your dad was from Baban?
My dad was from Baban, yeah.
Did he say back in the day, why did he leave?
Well, because I think it was that the British were looking for people to come to Australia to work. And that's when my father decided, and he was 19 when he landed, when he came to Australia, and he was also a British, they made him a British subject, and he came here and he landed at Fremantle first, and for the first year they cut timber for wheat fields around York and other parts of Western Australia. And then in the following year he moved to Queensland, and he picked cotton in Bilawila for about 6 or 7 months. And then the Queensland government announced that they were going to open up tobacco farming around Mariba. So my father went to Mariba and bought a farm, actually, right, and started tobacco farming there. And he stayed on that farm from 1929 till 1941. It was a very hard life. It was dry farming, which meant that you had to wait for the rain. So they used to plant a crop with a cup of water, a tobacco crop, hoping that it was going to rain so the crop would grow. It was a hard life for them, very hard.
Absolutely, it sounds like it. What was it like when Mum came then?
Then we came in 39 and we stopped on that farm for a couple of years. And then because, the seasons were changing, less rain, you know, cyclic weather, my father moved to another farm on a river which had water all the year round. So that's where I actually grew up, me and my sister and brother. We grew up there, and he planted tobacco there until he died, of course, yeah, but on the river.
And you said there were a lot of Albanians there.
Yes.
What were they doing? What did they do generally?
Well, in that area, the Athan Tableland, right, you could grow tobacco, grow maize, corn, potatoes, have dairy farms. There was a lot of industries that you could have got into. And a lot of the farmers, the Albanians, there were dairy farmers, potato growers, tobacco farmers, all sorts of farming work.
And they worked hard?
Very hard, very hard.
What was it? What was life like? There was no Facebook, of course.
No.
What did they do after they worked? Did they get together?
They did. Mm-hmm. They got together a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course, everybody had a vehicle, and they used to visit one another a lot. They'd meet a lot. I remember in my young days, we used to go to the neighbours at night. We had no torches, but we had hurricane lamps, and we used to carry them and, go visiting the neighbours or whoever at night.
I suppose the Albanian ladies were, not many around. What did they do? How did they get married? Who did they get married to?
Actually, a lot of them got married before they came.
Right.
There was only a couple who got married in Australia. Most of them were married before they came to Australia.
Was the government helping? If somebody didn't have a job, could they get benefits?
Yes, they did get benefits. The only trouble with benefits was you could not get a unemployment benefit in the same town. If you're unemployed, you picked up your benefit, say, in Mareeba this mm-hmm. week, but next week you had to go to another town.
Right.
To get a benefit. Then you had to move around. So the government then made sure that you moved looking for a job.
In order to get your benefits.
In order to get your benefits, yeah.
So then you came with your family, you settled in. What happened? You went to school?
Yeah, I went to school. I didn't start school till I was about 7 or 8, I think, because we lived out in the bush. And I went to school, and of course I couldn't speak a word of English. And but we ended up, after about 6 months, we learnt, a bit of English and assimilated with the rest. And everything was fine then.
Were there many other nationalities over there at the
yes.
time?
The biggest nationality in around the Tableland, Mareeba and Athan, and that were the Italians.
A lot of Italians.
A lot of Italians. I'd go as far as to say 75% were Italian,
mm-hmm.
and the other 25% was made up of Albanians, Spanish, Croats, and a few other nationalities. But the majority were the Italians.
And the Italians, just like the others, were doing exactly the same thing?
Exactly.
Everybody was doing the same thing.
Everybody was the same thing.
Was it difficult to be a foreigner back in those days?
I think the biggest difficulty was language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, the English language was very hard, especially for the Italians. English was very hard. And I think one of the big factors in that was that in English, there was 26 letters in the alphabet. Italians only had 21. And if they thought English was hard, Albanian has 36. It was harder still. So, yeah, it was hard.
And was there, did you feel that they were looking at you differently?
Oh, yes. In the beginning, they were. The thing was that on my family, which my father's side, assimilated very quickly. Because you're in another country, you have to assimilate with the people of that country. A lot of the other nationalities kept to their own groups, and that made it a lot harder for them.
They would speak the language, yeah, they would work together.
Yes, yeah, and they made it harder for them to learn English too. Whereas my father learnt English very well. As a matter of fact, my father always worked with mainly Irish people, and they used to call him Kelly. Kelly from the Isle of Man, that's what they called him. And he spoke English with an Irish accent. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, when he used to go cut cane, he had a very close Irish friend. He used to look after the farm, because he'd say to Dad, listen, Kelly, you got a family, you better go and make some money, cut cane, I'll look after the tobacco for you. So my father and his family assimilated very well.
And the others didn't?
I took a long time, and they did not, they didn't assimilate very well.
Now, in those days, especially after World War II, a lot of the Albanians that were in Australia decided to go back. What did you know about Albania back then? Did you think it was a beautiful country now, that it was all free from the occupators, as they were called?
Well, look, me, I suppose, I didn't know much about it.
Mm.
Not in the 50s. I think it was in the 60s and onwards that I started, when I, you know, realised I was born there, and I started taking interest in, and I've got a lot of books on Albanian history, the Ottoman occupations, what they did, and so forth. Yeah. And I still read about it.
Did you know that back then that Albania was a dictatorship, that people were not allowed to get out?
Yes.
So you couldn't communicate. What was it like? You couldn't communicate with anyone.
It was very hard. I do remember back, I think it was in the 50s, when the first letters came from Albania to my family. I can't remember how old I was. I think I would have been in my teens. I remember that when one of my uncles received a letter from his family, and we had a party because the letters came through, you know, they communicated.
I remember you had a party because you received a letter.
Because they'd never, during the war and after the war, there'd been no contact. And then they received this first letter, and I remember we had a party.
What was in the letter?
Oh, I just, you know, his people had said that we're all right and told them all about what was happening. Well, I think one of the biggest problem, because Albania was under the dictatorship, they had to be careful what was written. Yeah.
Must have been difficult.
It was very difficult.
So you grew up and then you worked in the farm?
I did work in the farm for a while, but actually I worked in a pharmacy for dispensing drugs for a long time. What happened before that, my father had a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah, he had a massive heart attack. He was only 47. And I went back on the farm just to help out. And I didn't mind it, actually, farming. So I decided to give pharmacy away and stopped on the farm. And then I didn't get married till, I think it was 1964. I think it was 64.
How did you get married?
Well, what happened, my wife's brothers were, and their mother were up there. They had some relations. And anyhow, how I met them, I was on a Friday night, we used to go to town, and I was sitting there leaning on my car Friday night, and I saw these people walking, and I knew the family in Mareeba. And as my wife's brothers walked, I used to have very black hair, right? And I remember them saying in Albanian, look at that Greek over there, in Albanian. And I said, who are you calling a Greek? And they got a shock. I was Albanian and could understand them. So we got together and I showed them around the district and that. And they took photos. And when they went back to Shepparton, of course, my wife saw the photos, my future wife. And, well, I don't know, you better ask her. She must have fallen in love with them. So when I went there, she was chasing me around Shep. And that's how we got together.
And you had beautiful children and life went on from there. What did you do in the meantime? Did you always stay in the farm or did you?
Yes, I did stay in the farm. Actually, I bought my own farm in 1960 and I'm still on the same farm. And I stayed on the farm. I did other work, of course, for 14 years. I supervised halal slaughter in Queensland, you know, for the Muslim trade. I did that till 1981 or 82. And then I decided to get into the Tobacco Marketing Board. So I became chairman of the board and I was there for about 30 years as chairman of the board. So, and then the tobacco industry was closed and I had to wind it up and all that sort of thing.
How did that affect the Albanians in Mareeba or even the farming industry up there?
Actually, by the time the industry closed, there was only 7 Albanian farmers left. Mm-hmm. Most of them were Italians and Croats and a few other nationalities. It did. It was going to affect them massively. But what I did, right, I went to the federal government and over the period of from 1988 when the problem started with the growing of tobacco in Mareeba mainly and also Australia, right, I went to both state and federal governments and pushed for money. And I believe from 1988 till 2006, for my growers in Mareeba, I would have got over $100 million I distributed to the farmers. And in the last lot, which was 2006, I made sure every farmer got a certain amount of money to pay for tobacco-specific equipment. Mm-hmm. And it made it very easy for them, very easy.
That's a massive effort.
Oh, look, I did. I had to do it because otherwise the farmers would have been on their knees.
Of course.
Yes.
What do they do now?
Well, after tobacco, you see, I used to run a research facility in Mareeba. And we knew that we had to look at other crops. So at our research facility, not only did we research tobacco, we researched mangoes, avocados, all other crops. And a lot of our farmers also, you know, had planted other crops. You know, they might have planted lemons or limes in conjunction with tobacco. So when the time came, we were ready to go into other crops.
What were the women doing? What did they do? What was their role?
Well, there was just mainly housework.
Yeah.
And the women, of course, had a big problem with language because they couldn't speak English. And it was very hard for them to learn English because they weren't too well educated back in Albania. A lot of them never went to school. And it was very hard for them.
I have another question, and that is more about the community. So there was an Albanian community up in Mareeba. How close was it? Did you have a leader? Did you have an association or anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had the Albanian Association. Oh, yes.
What did they do?
Oh, they used to celebrate Albanian days.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the majority were Muslims. So they had a religious society. That we built mosques.
Mm-hmm.
We built a mosque. We had an imam there to teach religion and what have you. So they were very close.
Are they still close?
Not so much now. No. I think with all the problems in the world, especially with the Muslims and all that, people are starting to sort of keep away because of the fighting over in the Middle East and what have you. Not as close as we were.
And did you have communications with the Albanians over here or elsewhere in Australia?
Yeah, they did communicate, yes.
And you said you used to go in Shepparton quite often.
Yeah, I did. Well, because I had we had relations there, yeah.
Was the community, the Albanian community in Shepparton, very similar to the one in Mareeba?
Yeah, very similar.
Farming?
The same thing, yeah.
Fruit. Same thing.
Well, it was just different type of farming.
I would like to talk a little bit about immigration. And how easy was it to migrate from one country to another, or to Australia, more specifically?
Yeah, I think it was very hard. The thing why a lot of people migrated, well, it was harder in their home country,
mm-hmm.
right? So they had to get out of there. And I remember my father saying, because my father used to do a lot of government work, he used to help people get naturalised, not only Albanians, any nationality and all that sort of thing. And my father was very disappointed during his time with the governments of Albania and what they did. And I remember him saying that, he said, now you're in Australia, right? You got to love Australia, because Albania was not good enough to keep us there. He was right, right? In those days, in the 20s, you know, they had all sorts of different governments. The biggest problems, I believe, was a lot of the governments in Albania were corrupt, and that made it very hard for everybody. So a lot of them had to move, right?
And they loved Australia, and I suppose Australia loved them back.
Of course they did. You come to Australia, you worked, you got paid. Right? It was hard, but at least they made money, they raised their families.
What do you think about Australia now?
Oh, beautiful. I wouldn't change.
Do you think Australia should welcome more immigrants?
No.
No?
I'm okay. Sorry.
Why is that?
Look, I'd like to see immigrants,
mm-hmm.
but do not bring the problems you had over there to this country, right? Leave them there. That's why you come here. What I say to a lot of people, you know, I say, which countries in the world people want to migrate to and why? Because of, one, English speaking, two, Westminster system of government, right, and all these things. So don't come here and change it, because that's why you're here. The trouble is we get a lot of people coming here, they want to go back to their old ways. That's wrong, right? Now, as far as I'm concerned, in Australia, we probably have one of the best systems in the world. But as we get more immigrants and they're trying to change our way of life, that's very wrong, very wrong. So I don't know. I don't know.
Now, when we were talking before, you said that you were actually asked to go and fight.
Yeah, well, I was drafted during the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
right? And anyhow, by the time they trained us and everything, the Korean War finished. So I was trained in Brisbane. And because the war finished and we didn't get to go over there, thank God, I had to finish my time in North Queensland in the 51st Battalion.
What did you have to do?
Training, mm-hmm. orientation, you know, jungle fighting and all that sort of thing.
Were you happy to do all of that?
Well, yeah, I didn't mind it, actually. I didn't mind it.
Many Albanians did that?
Up there, only three of us. There was me and one of my cousins. He went to Vietnam. I didn't go to any war, but he ended up going to Vietnam. And another bloke, but he didn't go anywhere. They just trained him.
Have you been back to Albania?
No, I haven't. My wife has. Mm-hmm. My kids have. The trouble is I've travelled the world, but I had to do it for tobacco. So I've been to the Africa, Americas, Canada, South America and that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on tobacco business.
Do you think you'll go to Albania one day?
They're trying to get me to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a bit old now.
What do you think it will be like?
Well, from what I've heard, I hope they wake up to themselves a little bit. What I read a fair bit, there's a fair bit of corruption, which is wrong. I believe drugs are big in Albania, illegal tobacco and chop chop and all that sort of thing. So I don't know.
You'll wait and see, I suppose.
When I get there, if I get there.
What would you say to a new migrant from Albania today?
I'd say you don't know how lucky you are. There's a lot of the Albanians now, they come to Australia because they were well educated in Albania. It's very easy for them to learn English, right? And I get surprised that a lot of them, right, speak English so well. Yeah. So, and that comes from the bases back home.
Yeah. Was it difficult to become an Australian citizen? What did they want back then? How could you become a citizen?
Oh, I think you had to do time, a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. in Australia. It wasn't that difficult. As a matter of fact, I didn't become an Australian citizen until 1988 because I thought I was an Australian citizen because I was drafted in the army. Actually, I was a British subject.
Right.
And anyhow, in 1988, my mother wanted to go back to Albania, so I went to renew her passport. And when I went to the immigration, they said, your mother's not an Australian citizen. I said, what are you talking about? No, she's not. Oh. So anyhow, we had to go through the rigmarole, and they made her an Australian citizen. When I went to pick up her passport, and I said, hey, have a look. Am I an Australian citizen? He had a look. He said, no, you're not.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I was not supposed to be chairman of a statutory authority. And that worried me a bit. And they said, look, we'll fix it. See, I'd been in the army. I'd been working in Australia, paid taxes. But the law changed in 1985. So you had to have a naturalisation certificate. So anyhow, I got mine through in 1988. So I became an Australian citizen then.
Very late Australian citizen.
Very late. Fancy bloke who'd been here since 1939.
That's right.
Yeah.
As an Albanian, what kind of contribution have Albanians given to Australia?
Well, I think for the percentage of Albanians that were here, I believe on a percentage basis, they have given a big contribution, very big, because in all the different states, of course, you know, you're going to get rebel rousers, but the majority of the Albanians who came here were very good, decent people, and I think their contribution has been great.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure for me to be here.
And enjoy your time in Victoria.
Yeah, I'll try hard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.